The truth of God's character is focused in his name. So the divine name of Jehovah, it reveals God's power, authority, and holiness. So the first week of the series, Jared talked to us about how we got the name Jehovah. And then each week since then, we have talked about an additional like identifier or name that has been added to Jehovah that we get from the Old Testament stories. Now, in these stories, God is given an additional name after he proves his faithfulness, after he proves his character in a new way to the Israelites. So pop quiz time. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Anybody studied? Yeah, no. Okay. So Jehovah Nisi. What does it mean?
Protector.
No. Yes.
Banner.
Fight your battles. Very good. So Jehovah Nisi, God, the Lord is my banner. He fights your battles. He goes before us. We just have to suit up in the armor of God and trust him through the process. All right, next. Jehovah Jireh.
Provider.
Yes. Provision. He is your provision. The Lord is my provision. The Lord will provide. And provision, as we learned last week, is more than just material or monetary need. So he provides for all that we need in all areas of our life. All right, so before we get started on the topic today, I want to share something with you guys. It's been a goal of mine the past few years to be a little bit more authentic with people because I tend to like hide behind like this curtain of like who I think people expect me to be. And so I've been trying to like pull that back layer. Really. So it's very uncomfortable for me. So if I stutter, then that's why. So I know it's easy to like sit there and then think that the person with the microphone has all the answers, like knows all about it, has it all figured out. And I can promise you that we don't. We're just as messed up, just as broken as anybody else. If you get to know me a little bit, then you understand that pretty quick. See, when I started writing this series, I thought going into it that it was going to be more informational. Because some series are like, we just came through a Holy Spirit series, which is more spiritual. Like, it just seems like it's going to be more spiritual because it's the Holy Spirit. Some are more educational, like informational. And I kind of thought this would be a more informational series. I had no idea how diving into the particular meanings of God's name would wreck me and challenge me. This has been a difficult month. See, I've learned so much about God in the past few weeks. And I was talking to a friend earlier this week, and I was talking about how there was an unexpected outcome in this series, and it's in the way that it's helping me to pray more specifically about situations in my life. So like if there's a financial need or if I need provision or if I'm trusting God for something big in my life, then I can call on the name of Jehovah Jireh. Or if I feel like I'm under attack, there's spiritual warfare that we're walking into, there's battles that we're facing, then I can call on the name of Jehovah Nisi. And there's some kind of comfort in that I've found. But see, there's another unexpected and kind of unpleasant outcome to this series. See, it feels like me and my family and a lot of the people sitting in this room, a lot of people around me, we've been starting to face new challenges or old things have come back up. It's like we're being given a chance to prove that we actually believe what we say on Sunday mornings. So like, for example, so Matt spoke a couple weeks ago about, I spoke a couple weeks ago about going to war, spiritual warfare. And I feel like I've been on the front line since. There's just been thing after thing come up. Last week, Matt spoke about God's provision, Jehovah Jireh. And this past week, we have been hit with nonstop opportunities to trust God with our finances. Isn't that great? Yeah. If I say it with a smile on my face and I don't cry. So there's things like that come up. And I'm telling you this because I want you to know that the words that are spoken here on a Sunday morning, they have an impact. They do things. And there's some messages that are hard to write. And this is one of them. So you guys ready? Ready to get into it? Okay. So this isn't just me telling you about stuff in the Bible. that's irrelevant to your life or my life. See, when I stand here and I declare the name of Jehovah over our lives, I'm taking a stand and hopefully empowering and encouraging you to do the same. So I'm challenging you guys today. Please don't make me stand alone. It's hard. But we have our family by choice, and we do this together. So let this message kind of sink in and allow God to the freedom to speak to you through this message, because it really is time to put our faith into action. So let's get into it. Turn to Exodus 15. So right after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, see, God had parted the waters, and he led them through to safety on dry land. Do you guys know how big the Red Sea is?
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, that's exactly how big I know it is, too. I don't know. It's big. It's huge. And there were a lot of people going through. A lot of people. Some estimates is that there was at least 1 million people walking through. It took time. This was a process. It took hours. Some people think it may have taken a day or two to get everybody and all of their belongings through on dry land, and the water stood on either side of them. Let that sink in for just a minute. They witnessed this. They walked through it. In chapter 14, verse 31, it says, "When the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Moses, his servant." If you see something like that, if you walk through that, it kind of makes you believe, huh? It kind of makes you trust. And then chapter 15 begins with a song of praise that the entire nation sang to God. Can you imagine? Thousands, million voices singing praises in unison to God. And there's this cool thing in verse 2. So it says, "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." So the cool thing about this is, as I was reading this, I noticed that, you know how like in your Bible you have like a little number or squiggle or something that says that there's a footnote? So I've gotten in the habit of looking at those footnotes, because you can sometimes find some pretty cool things like this. So the word defense in this, "The Lord is my strength and my defense," it has a note in my Bible that says that it can also be translated to the word song. My song, or my praise, is my defense. My faith is my defense. How cool is that? Yeah, it's how I fight my battles. There's like a bazillion worship songs that we could quote right here. See, Jehovah Nissi delivered them from Egypt and Pharaoh's army, and their response was to trust and praise him. But then the song ended. Let's see what happened next, starting in verse 22. "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter." That's why the place is called Marah, because it means bitter. "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?'" That didn't take long. See, just 3 days of walking, after walking on dry ground through the Red Sea, after experiencing this incredible miracle and proof of God's provision and protection, they allowed the situation, the physical situation that they were in, to cause them to doubt God. And I get it. No water in the desert is a very real issue. 3 days without water in the desert when you're traveling, it is an extreme situation. But it is a physical situation. And they allowed that physical situation to affect their spiritual faith and trust. "Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink." Provision. There, the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his command and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. See, God already had a plan for their provision. He already had a place set aside for them. They just had to get there. I am the Lord who heals you. The English translation, that is the English translation of the name Jehovah Rapha. So when we think or hear the word heal or think about God healing someone, we typically think about physical healing, right? Growing up in church, like that's kind of what I thought, is if you talk about healing, you're talking about a physical ailment. But see, calling on the name of Jehovah Rapha, it restores us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Body, mind, and soul. So let's look at some examples in Psalms of how God is Jehovah Rapha. Flip to Psalms 41. Psalms 41, verse 3. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. See, God sustains and restores those dealing with physical infirmity. And I've always kind of struggled a little bit with this one. See, it's one thing to believe that God's going to heal you from the flu, but it's another to believe that God can heal someone with a terminal illness or with a permanent handicap. When I was a kid, there was a guy I grew up with, and he had, I don't know what the disease was or anything, but he was born, and he wasn't a dwarf, but he couldn't grow. And so he grew to a certain point in his youth, and he remained that. And he had a lot of physical issues with it, a lot of sickness issues because of it. And I remember one time, we had an altar call at the end of service, and he had been sick, and we were challenged to pray with him and believe for full healing for him. And I remember thinking, that's big. Like, that's really big. And I was scared to pray it. And then, like, I don't think I've ever told anyone this. And then I was afraid that it was my doubt that caused him to not be healed. So we're going to talk about that another day because it's a real thing. It's a real thing. So we're going to, I wasn't planning on telling you guys that story. But these are the things that they break natural law. These are the things that makes it so hard for our minds, our scientific minds, to comprehend because it doesn't make sense. But if God created our bodies from nothing, then why should we doubt when he can fully restore them from any ailment? But see, for me, it's not so much about believing that God can heal our bodies. It's about trusting in his goodness even when the miraculous healing doesn't happen. It's what I like to call dangerous prayers. See, it's knowing that even if it doesn't happen how we want it to, that God is still able and he is still good. See, we have to reconcile with the fact that humanity and the sinful nature of this world does not allow this world to be free from suffering. But in the suffering, God stands as our hope. There's a passage in Daniel 3 that has kind of shaped the way that I think and I pray for this miraculous healing. And I carried that story of praying with this friend of mine for years and years. And just a few years ago, when I was reading this, it clicked. It changed. And that guilt that I had was free. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing the fury of King Nebuchadnezzar because they refused to worship any god but the one true God. And the king warns them, if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? So King Nebuchadnezzar here is putting himself in a position of authority level to God. Of who can deliver you from my hand, from my power. And it goes on, and it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Those simple words, even if he does not, they hold more faith than most sermons I've heard. See, knowing that God is Jehovah Rapha and is able to meet the need, but also trusting that he is still good and faithful even if it does not have the outcome that you desire. That is trust. That is faith. See, yielding to God's will shows us that there can be purpose in the pain. See, God didn't cause the pain, but he can use it. So the next passage in Psalms should be pretty familiar to most everybody. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, this addresses spiritual fatigue. Spiritual fatigue is a very real thing. And we talked a couple weeks ago about Jehovah Nisi, about how God will fight for us. We just need to stand firm. But sometimes we start to run low on the strength to do even that. We get discouraged. We get beat down. All the little things in life start to kind of chip away at us, and we lose our focus on God. We can lose our hope. And when we do that, we feel defeated. See, a sheep that wanders away from the shepherd is open for attack. Maybe it was distracted by like a yummy looking little patch of grass right off the pathway. And so it runs over to grab a little nibble. But what it doesn't know is that there's a wolf hiding behind the rock that's waiting for a sheep to get distracted so it can attack. See, if the sheep doesn't get back to the shepherd soon, it might just get devoured. See, when you're following the shepherd, our Father, there will be times that you will go through peaceful valleys as well as dark ones. See, the rod and the staff of the shepherd provides guidance and protection for anyone that stays near. In your spiritual walk, there's going to be times when you feel nothing but peace and rest and love. That warm feeling of being provided for by Jehovah Jireh. But there's other times that you're going to feel surrounded by darkness, and you're going to need to call on the name of Jehovah Nisi. See, if the Lord is your shepherd, you will never be alone. See, I feel safe in saying that there's a lot of spiritual fatigue experienced by people these days that isn't actually caused by attacks from the world, but from the church. Do you guys know the term church hurt? It's kind of a newer phrase, but I think most everybody's probably heard it at this point. See, it references pain, sadness, emotional scarring, or an abuse experienced in a church context. And it can be inflicted intentionally or unintentionally by members of the congregation or by the religious leaders. And I bet most of you guys can relate to this idea if you've been in church very much at all in your life. See, there's no perfect church because churches are made up of broken people. And broken people break people. See, I'd like to think that we're different here at Project Church. But I'm not naive enough to think that we're better than any other church. Because we're just people. See, none of us are perfect. But when people get hurt in a church setting, it can be difficult to separate that pain from God. Especially if it's by someone that they look to as a spiritual authority. So here's my promise to you. I cannot promise that I will never offend you or hurt you. But I do promise that it will never be intentional. If me or anyone else in this church or this organization hurts you, come to me. We'll have a conversation about it. Or if you're still dealing with church hurt from your past, let's talk about it. Because so many wounds never have the opportunity to heal because they are never dealt with. We've got to trust Jehovah Rapha with that spiritual pain. He can heal your soul. We can walk through it together. All right, so the last passage in Psalms deals with our mental and emotional suffering. It's Psalms 147, 2 and 3. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel, and he heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. See, we're all a little bit broken. At some point, we've all experienced pain, grief, or trauma. Or maybe all. See, someone has broken your heart, abused you, or you've lost someone that you love. And in these moments, it's very easy to just allow yourself to just crumble into a pile of sorrow. But God is still Jehovah Rapha. See, only he can pick up all the pieces and build us back up into something beautiful again. There's an ancient Japanese method of repairing broken pottery called kintsugi. And I wasn't actually going to talk about this today until somebody brought it up randomly this week, and I was like, okay. See, I've always loved this art form because it takes something that's broken and it makes it into something more beautiful than it was before. It adds value to it. A word for that is aggrandize. I love that word, that it becomes aggrandized. It adds value and beauty. See, when the pottery gets broken, the cracks, they bear testimony to its story, to what it's been through. And it could be thrown away, but the restorative process of kintsugi gives it another chance. See, the process, it takes the broken pieces and it mends them with gold. Now the vessel is more beautiful and more valuable than it was before it was damaged. And each kintsugi piece is beautiful and tells a unique story. So these are a couple examples. And you can kind of imagine what these would have looked like before they were broken, before there was cracks. But isn't it gorgeous? Isn't it unique? There's nothing like it. See, we're all a little bit broken. Life chips away at us, and sometimes we're the ones that get hurt. Sometimes we hurt others. Both scenarios, they leave a mark, and they break us down. If we don't allow God to take us through that mending process, then before long, we are nothing more than just a pile of broken pieces. But if we surrender what's left of us to be repaired, He aggrandizes us. We become more beautiful and more valuable than ever before. And each mended crack, it tells a little piece of your story, of where you've been and how you become who you are and who God is rebuilding you to be. So just like pottery can be restored, Jehovah Rapha can heal our broken hearts. But see, that's a thing, is the scars remain. The wound is healed, but the scars remain. And that's what I love so much about Kintsugi. It's the scars that become the most valuable part of the vessel. It's that gold that raises the monetary value. And where is it placed? It's in the scars. See, the scars are your story. And your story can be made more beautiful and more valuable when your scars are covered with God's grace. Just like the gold adds value and beauty to the pottery, God's grace adds value and beauty to your story. And who knows? Maybe your story can help someone else heal. So Jehovah Rapha, he restores us physically, spiritually, and emotionally when we trust him with our brokenness. And the gospel accounts in the New Testament, they are full of stories of the blind gaining sight, of the paralyzed walking, of the lepers being cleansed. And so it's really easy to look at the New Testament and look at the time that Jesus was on earth and the time that the apostles were traveling and healing people and just see it as physical healing. But look a little deeper. See, it wasn't just physical ailments that were being healed. There was purpose behind it. In Matthew 8, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And then, starting in verse 16, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So let's look at what Isaiah said in chapter 53. Starting in verse 4, it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him to be punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. See, I looked up the definition of iniquity. It's something that I've heard my whole life. But I've never actually looked up the definition. I just kind of assumed I knew the meaning of it because of the context and all that stuff. But I like words, and so I actually looked up the definition. And an iniquity is a violation of the right or duty that mankind is obligated to do. It can also be considered a wicked act or an immoral conduct or practice. And these harmful or offensive things are offensive to society and especially to God. They cause damage. They break other people. See, in the Bible, the terms sin and iniquity are often used interchangeably. So in short, an iniquity is an immoral action that causes harm to another. So when Jesus performed miracles of healing, he was showing that he is willing to physically take on our pain, our suffering, and the brokenness of all of humanity so that we can find spiritual and emotional healing. It's his upside-down kingdom. It's his way of addressing the physical to reach the emotional and the spiritual. It was an external example of the internal freedom that only he can offer. So the New Testament healing miracles, they were intentional for healing hearts and minds as well as bodies. So Isaiah continues and he says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. We've all seen a little tuft of grass off the path that looked really, really tempting and decided to leave the shepherd just long enough. See, none of us can be whole without Jesus. We've all gone our own way. We've all experienced pain. Some of us, well, at some point, I'm sure all of us have caused pain for other, whether it was intentional or not. But Jesus took on all of our pain, all of our brokenness, all of our iniquities, so that we could become whole. See, Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. He alone can restore what is broken. So we're going to do a couple more songs today because I wanted to make sure that we had plenty of time for reflection and for response. See, I know without a shadow of a doubt that every person that walked into this building today needs some kind of healing from Jehovah Rapha. So I'm going to ask you guys to maybe be a little uncomfortable. See, I'm going to ask you to pray with bold prayers and with confidence to know that he is able to meet your need, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. See, I want you to trust that even if he doesn't answer in this moment how you want him to, that he is still good and faithful. Learn from my story. Don't not pray the prayer out of fear that it won't be answered. See, some of us need physical healing. If you're dealing with sickness or pain, call on the name of Jehovah Rapha. Invite your family by choice to pray with you and bring your need to him. See, some of us need spiritual healing. The world has like chipped away at your spirit, has caused you to doubt. All you feel is the heaviness. You feel like you're in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. You feel like you can't see the shepherd anymore. It's hard to see where he's leading you. But know that he is still there and he is still leading you. See, if you're weary and worn down and feel like you're carrying all the things, bring it to Jehovah Rapha and let him give you rest. But see, this one's a hard one. Some of us need emotional healing. See, maybe there was something that's happened in your past that has left you feeling like a pile of broken pieces. You might be struggling with grief, with depression, anxiety, trauma, regret, shame, grief, doubt. But bring the pieces of who you are to Jehovah Rapha. Trust him to rebuild you into something more beautiful and valuable than you were before. But know that this kind of healing is a journey. See, trauma leaves triggers. And each one of us, we have to surrender those one at a time. We can't just come up in a moment and pray and leave it with God and then expect to never feel that trigger again and never have a moment when something happens that breaks you again. betrayal, it breaks trust. And trust is one of those things that it has to be rebuilt over time. No one can just snap their finger and change what's happened. Grief requires mourning. It's a process, grieving what could have been. And there will be times that you will doubt. There will be times that you will feel all of that again. You will feel the darkness all over again. But see, God can turn your sorrow into joy.
Yes.
But it's a process. It's a journey. It's one day at a time. So what I'm not asking you to do today is to leave it behind and never look back and never think about what happened again. What I'm telling you is make a decision today to invite God into that journey with you. Dedicate your trust to Him. Let Him gather up the pieces and start putting it back together. There will be pain through the process, but only God can turn your pain into purpose. So if you feel God tugging at your heart, your mind, or your body right now, pointing out those areas in your life that you need healing, then I'm going to ask you to step out in faith. This isn't something that we normally do, but I feel really strongly that we need to step out in faith today and believe that God's going to meet us there. Because God is our Jehovah Rapha. He's the only one that can fix it, that can heal us. But there's other sheep in the flock. You've got to lean on your family by choice. Sometimes the first step to healing is admitting that you need healing. So we're going to pray together. So if you feel God pointing out an area in your life, something that is broken, something that you need healing for, I'm going to ask you to step out and step up and come up. We don't have traditional altars, but God doesn't need a piece of wood for you to stand in front of before He can meet you. Step out in faith. Pray boldly for the specific healing that you need. And trust Jehovah Rapha to meet you here.